Welcome to The Blaze. This is episode 263. I'm your host, Alejandro Oveda. You have now pushed play to another Blazing Week, and I got to tell you, what an amazing week we've been having here on the podcast. This week has been kind of a great week, you know, with the sky kind of gray outside, but we're still looking up this week. You know, I just want to say thank you for all of you who really listened to last week's podcast. Like I said, last week was our 5th year anniversary, and we are still going strong. We have not missed a Thursday in 263 weeks. We're now counting this week as 263, so we are incredibly humbled that you guys have been here, listening to this podcast, tuning into this podcast, and really making this podcast go around. I just want to urge you guys just to share this podcast with someone new. If you haven't heard this podcast, or if you know that someone hasn't heard of this podcast, make sure you send them this podcast their way. This is an independent podcast, and all your support goes a humongous way for this independent podcast. I just say every week you guys blow up every episode, and I just got to say thank you. And also for another 5th year anniversary, we just got done celebrating all week. It's been really, really nice, but we're back getting things back into square one, and we're ready to give you guys more content throughout the year. You know, we're planning a lot more podcasts throughout the year. I'm trying to get my next Blaze Talks interview going, so I've been working hard at getting our next interview going. So I hope you guys are just staying active. Hopefully you guys are sticking around. This podcast, you know, was only an idea 5 years ago, and now, you know, it's coming into fruition. Everybody's starting to gravitate towards it, and, you know, it's authentic. It's nothing that I'm doing that is out of pocket, that's really out of sight, out of mind, you know? I just like giving you guys content every week, giving you guys a little bit about me, giving you guys a little bit about where I come from, and you know, just the city that I live in, Fresno County or Central Valley at that, you know, is a great place to be, especially around the springtime right now, especially, you know, the first weeks of every month. I just like to urge people, go out there, go support Art Hop. Usually they have it the first weekend of every month, and then they also have Art Hop, I think, the third weekend of every month as well. But usually the bigger one is the first of the month. And this month, I know they have a lot of different events planned. So if you are looking out to go to Art Hop this week, make sure you stop by, you know, the Brewery District. I know the Brewery District always has a lot of fun. And that's something that I'm glad that our local downtown offers a lot of places for people to go spend their time, you know, and their money. But at the same time, their time and just being able to go out there, enjoy what we've grown so far as a city, trying to revitalize our downtown area. I think Art Hop is always a great event to really showcase that downtown area, which has been, in a long time coming, has been growing. And seeing that, you know, our Brewery District has been a place or a hub for people to get together, just to relax, just to enjoy, especially enjoy each other. You know, we never really had that growing up, but now that, you know, I'm here at 30 years old and seeing that our 30 plus, I should say. You know, we're seeing that our downtown area is growing, and it's hopefully growing in a good way where we may be seeing some more revitalizing, maybe more housing, you know, but definitely right now that area in the Brewery District is the place to go if you're looking for a good time, especially for the Art Hop. I know there's tons of different things going on, but just, you know, what I like about Art Hop is, you know, it's all around downtown. You can find it in Tower District as well. But I like to stay on the main hubs on Fulton Street, which there is always tons of stuff. And if you don't know downtown area, you know, down in Fulton Street, they started revitalizing. So there's a bunch going on down there. But this art hop, definitely take a look at Tioga Sequoia. I know they have a lot going down there. They'll be having, you know, their annual kind of block party kind of thing with different music and different food trucks. And also at Full Circle this week, they're going to be celebrating MF Doom and J Dilla. So they'll be doing some good live music featuring Fashawn, Cephas, Mad Hatter, and High Upseer. So these are some events that you don't want to miss, especially when you got live music, especially from greats like Fashawn. This is a great time to go out, support, and make sure you guys are doing your part by, you know, supporting the local businesses, supporting all the local, you know, entertainment. I think for me, it's definitely hard to get out, you know, on a Thursday night. But definitely if I did have the time, this is a place that I would probably go. I would definitely go support, especially when you could basically get all the best food in town right there in downtown Fresno. So make sure you guys go check out Art Hop this week. I know there's tons of other events, but I like just promoting the areas that I feel like will have the most people, which I think, you know, that area around the brewery district will have tons and tons of people. And usually when there's more people, it's more safe, you know. But the parking is also the question. I mean, the parking around that area, once it gets real busy, you know, you have to start parking either in the parking garage or out on Fulton Street. So just make sure you guys are aware of your surroundings. Make sure you guys know what is going on, where you guys are at, and just making sure you're staying safe throughout Art Hop. But I know it's a great, great, you know, event that I want to also just continue to support. I don't know why I always support it the day of. I don't think about doing it the week before and letting people know that is going on, but this definitely, make sure you guys check out Art Hop. It's always the first week of the month, and I also think it's the third week of the month. So make sure you check out all the different art galleries. Make sure you check out all the live events. There's tons to look at here in the Central Valley, so make sure you guys support all those little businesses. And this week I was able to watch a lot of different movies and a lot of different shows. But this week I want to talk about a new Netflix original called Spaceman. And this is actually based on the novel Spaceman of Bohemia. And it actually plays Adam Sandler as an astronaut who is adrift in the cosmos. This show or this movie was released on February 23rd, 2024, and it is, you know, a good an hour, 20 minutes, but this movie really has a lot of layers to it, and it was actually something that I really wanted to talk about this week, as I did watch a lot of shows and a lot of movies, and this is the one I really wanted to talk about, as the plot, to me, was what was interesting, as Adam Sandler plays a Czech Republic astronaut. His name is called Jacob, and he is called to really go on the space mission to investigate this kind of mysterious cloud of dust particles that is on the outer regions of Jupiter. So he takes on this mission by himself. It's a solo mission, which the Czech Republic is trying to get to this cloud of particles before the South Korean astronauts do. So they ended up launching Jacob into space to explore this Chopra of dust particles. And this is where Adam Sandler, or Jacob, the lead character, struggles with a lot of his human-like symptoms like loneliness, depression. You know, he's missing his wife throughout this whole movie, and he has actually recently stopped talking to her because he left her as she was giving birth to her unborn baby during this mission. So this show really has so many different layers to it. As you know, you as a human have so many layers to your emotions, to your actions. And this is what makes this movie really go, as he finds a new kind of friend in this mission, which is a spider-like creature that is probably an alien. And this alien kind of creature does have telepathic abilities and really sets himself to try to find why Jacob, who plays Adam, who is played by Adam Sandler, and he wonders why he is lonely and why he's so depressed. And then he kind of sees his loneliness through his dreams, and he sees why he is depressed in his thoughts. So the alien creature's name is Hanus, and then once they learn about more about each other, he understands that, you know, humans have all these different emotions, and he was just trying to help him become more strong with his thoughts and honest. But, you know, once you find the real reason of why he was so depressed, he really found out that it was, well, really self-inflicted. So he really met this guy in space. Them two, you know, were trying to work out this relationship until he found out why he was so depressed. And this is a great movie to watch. I don't want to give it all away because, you know, the plot really thickens towards the end. But it's definitely about friendship, and it's definitely about honesty. And I think, you know, people who really talk about their vulnerability, especially men, I think this is a great movie to watch. It really hits a lot of different levels for me. And I felt like the reception of this movie really didn't give what it deserves. I know right now they have, on Rotten Tomatoes, they have it at 51%. And that gives it like a 5.7 out of 10 rating. But if I were to rate this movie, I would definitely rate it a good 7.5, 7.8. It's up there with some of the best, I think, Adam Sandler movies. And I'm not saying Adam Sandler doesn't make good movies when it's a 7.5, 7.8. But definitely, I gravitate towards Adam Sandler movies. So this has to be one of my favorite ones out of his whole bunch. And when I looked at the production of this movie, it was not a Happy Madison movie. So I definitely kind of gave this a little bit more of a critique, which, you know, Adam Sandler does a great job as a role as this astronaut. And I feel like he really portrays, you know, this lonely astronaut, and he knows how to hit the buttons as an actor, and he really does that, as he really has this emotional equilibrium that really, it's hard to be lonely, you know, and it's hard to be kind of vulnerable at the same time. So I think this is a great movie for everybody to watch. Let me know what you guys are watching this week, and make sure you check out Spaceman, the Netflix original that is starring Adam Sandler. Let me know what you guys think. And this week, I was able to listen to a lot of different music, but I want to talk about the new album from La Russell and Hit-Boy called Rent Due. And this has been a great, great combination of rapper and production. And to me, La Russell is probably one of the best California rappers coming out right now. And definitely Hit-Boy in his production has been probably one of the most sought after, and also just the ear of hip-hop today. And if you don't know any of these guys, Lil Russell is from the Bay Area. I think he's actually someone that has really brought the Bay Area essence into the rap game right now, which, I am a huge supporter of Bay Area music, and that is why I wanted to really talk about this album. Like I said, Lil Russell is a West Coast rapper, and he's from Vallejo, which I feel like he gives himself, that authentic, heartfelt flow, and for sure he really comes across with the production from Hit-Boy, and Hit-Boy is actually the producer around Nas's King's Disease series. He also did Music Soulchild, and he's also done work with The Game with Paisley Dreams, and also Nipsey Hussle with Victory Lap. So he has been making a lot of noise, especially in the last few years. But this project that we have here with Lil Russell called Rent Due is something that I really want to talk about this week because it's really turning what I believe hip hop to be. And if you know Lil Russell, like I said, he is an independent artist. And he's been doing it by, by his own rules and making his own moves, really trying to be that independent artist that is helping people understand that the independent game is viable, So I was really excited to hear this one, especially because it provides you with that perfect West Coast sound that you like. From Lil Russell and also Hit-Boy, but you get that MC feel with those high drum patterns and also those riffs of the piano, which will make it even more of a West Coast sound. So you get that West Coast Compton sound with that West Coast Bay Area sound, which I really think it meshes well together in this album. But this album definitely has so much to it. As they both have been pressing the West Coast hip-hop scene for a long time now. But to me, I felt like it didn't really get the reception that it deserved, as not really many people have been talking about it. But definitely, if you took the chance to listen to it, I think that is where you'll get the most from it. To me, it has so many different layers to it, as I feel like it has a lot of combinations of jazz. It has a lot of combinations of, like I said, hyphy movement and also LA rap. So if you are looking for something new, if you're looking for something bright to listen to this week, make sure you check out Lil Russell and Hit-Boy's latest album called Rent Due. And this was actually released earlier in February or later in February, I think it was February 23rd, and it's only a seven song EP, so really easy to listen to, but definitely a lot to gain from it. So make sure you listen to Rent by Lil Russell and Hit-Boy, and let me know what you guys are listening to this week. And this week, I just want to talk about Measure E, as it appears to be failing again at the ballot for a second time, and Measure E made it on the appearance of the ballot once again this past week with some reworking. And Measure E went before voters back in 2022, and it failed to pass the initial election. And the results show it doesn't even get 50% votes plus one necessary to pass this time. To the disappointment of those who spent several years working on the measure, the tax would add, I think, a penny on some $4 purchases for the next 25 years. It would not apply to rent. It wouldn't apply to groceries, gas, or utilities. But those pennies add up to $63 million a year and more than $1.5 billion overall. And that money would actually benefit Fresno State, allowing for more expansion of their programs, such as their nursing program, updating facilities and equipment for some of their, sports teams, and increasing the college's capacity to accept and offer scholarships to low-income in Valley students. So a similar measure was struck down by voters in 2022, and organizers really helped that reworking this measure, it would have been easier to get passed this time around. But I think, you know, they did a good job by communicating this time, but with these minor changes that could be made, I think it came back that it was too much and much, much stronger than the previous one. So while it's still unofficial yet, I feel like Measure E is likely going to fail once again. And I think the economy, you know, right now is playing the biggest role, as, you know, it's probably hindering a lot of voters' decisions to probably not make that increase of even a penny. But I think if the economy was a little stronger and people felt good about, you know, this measure, I think people would think about it as they would help finance kids going into college and helping Fresno State stay kind of afloat. But I think it is a bigger issue than that, as, you know, this measure is really asking people to spend more money. But, you know, it's been on the ballot for the second time now. We're probably going to see it again. I just don't know what the results will be, especially going forward. But Fresno State really declined to really talk about this Measure E, especially coming into, you know, ballot counting right now. And they really didn't want to make a premature comment about it. But I think, you know, I thought it was going to go through this time around. So I want to know exactly what more entailed in the measure. It didn't really give you too much. So I really wanted to talk about this one, as, you know, this was the second time around on the ballot and definitely didn't pass. So I just want to let you guys know what's going around. And now I would like to talk about the new guaranteed income program here in Fresno County, which, if you are eligible, you could get $500 a month, and you would have to live in Huron and make $35,000 or less annually, or live in the 93706 zip code in Southwest Fresno and earn $30,000 or less. You also have to be 18 and over and pregnant or have at least one child 5 years old or younger. And this is going to be part of the EOC's new initiative called Advancing Fresno County Guaranteed Income Program. And this is going to be in two communities that have some of the highest rates of poverty in Fresno County, which should be getting help, this kind of financial help, Huron and the 93706 zip code in Southwest Fresno have been selected for this new guaranteed income program that will pay people $500 a month for 1 year. They say 32% of the population of Huron lives in poverty, and in the 93706 zip code in Southwest Fresno, that number is 39%. So this Fresno Economic Opportunities Commission is a partner in this new initiative, and it's actually here to provide the basic essentials that most of our families that are hardworking are struggling to provide, and a little bit more support to pay for water, PG&E, food, and just basic needs. And this is actually a great time, as, you know, inflation is hitting us at an all-time high. But Fresno EOC and several other local organizations raised over $1 million to help pay families this guaranteed income. And this comes after Fresno County was turned down for state help. So, of course, they were really disappointed when in 2022 they were denied that state money for guaranteed program for the entire state of California. However, Fresno County said that they didn't want to take no for an answer. So they really put it in their own hands to get this $500 a month for these people that live in these underprivileged areas. But a lot has happened in the first 5 years that can really impact people's lives, especially children, as they are learning basic skills, as they're learning how to live their lives, and also they are physically changing and developing, and they really want to see the impact that this will have on a physical life. So I think it's a great thing for the EOC and also all the other organizations that are helping these families. But the organization said that it will help evaluate and survey families once they receive the money to see the true difference in the making. But she says there's also no limitations on where families choose to spend the funds. So I think this is going to be a rare thing for families. And I just want to make sure that people know that the opportunity is out there, especially for hardworking or farm working as at that families to get a little bit of support in their daily struggle from their day-to-day lives, and to really diminish some of this financial burdens that they lie in. But applications are open March 15th and are open through May 15th, so you can really apply in person and online. So make sure you guys find more information. You know, I think you can find it on the EOC website. But once those application closes, Elevators will use a lottery system to choose 150 total households and 75 from each zip code. So make sure you guys, if you guys know you guys qualify for that $500 a month, make sure you guys put in those applications. Like I said, you can find them at the EOC website. And that's going to be FresnoEOC.org. So make sure you guys see if you qualify for that $500 a month. And that's only if you make $35,000 or less annually. And you have to live in the Huron area or the 93706 zip code. So make sure you guys check and see if you are eligible for that money. And this week I really want to talk about local innovation, as this local made gardening tool is revolutionizing yard work, and it's called the Rako. And you could have checked out this Rako at the Home and Garden Show at the fairgrounds, and you could have met the owner Marshall and Kevin at the show. But this gardening tool was created in the Central Valley to revolutionize the way we do yard work, and proving that, you know, you could actually innovate to make things cheaper to buy and also able to do things on your own. The Rako combines a retractable rake and a hoe, and they put that together to make a Rako. So if anyone does a lot of yard work, you know when you're hoeing and raking and you lose one, it's definitely hard to get the job done. So they ended up putting them together, creating what you would see this concept as the Rako. And Marshall Day came up with this concept 20 years ago when trying to find really a simple solution to do his yard in a timely manner. So he put this idea into action in 2008, and he ended up going out buying a retractable rake and a hula hoe, literally zip tied them together, and he used that as the first prototype for about a year. He then perfected the prototype with different materials that expert Kevin Saguspi found a better way to make it lighter and easier to slide. So these two are able to really be in the factories, are able to do all the quality control and take care of the problems themselves, and really taking out the middleman in the process, so they're able to keep, you know, the cost down. And I think this Rako is actually priced at $49.99, which is not a bad price. But you could actually pull it back to less than an eighth of an inch, and also you could retract it all the way to 22 inches to get into those small areas and also to get into the big areas. So I really wanted to talk about this week to really celebrate their hard work as they ended up, you know, making this innovative yard work tool to really handle what you need to get handled. And they said there's about five different functions to this Rako, and one of the functions is one that I am interested in, and it's really to help pick up dog shit or dog poop. So, like I said, it's a 4-in-1 tool that saves a lot of time, saves you a lot of money, and I felt like I really wanted to talk about it just because it is, you know, Fresno innovation. And if you were at the Fresno Garden Show, you were able to see this Rako, and if not, make sure you guys check it out online. I just wanted to talk about Fresno innovation as this is at its finest, so make sure you guys support everything local. Now let's talk about some local events, and this week I just want to talk about an event that's going down on Sunday, March 10th, 2024, and it's the Black Books and Rhyme Books, and this is going to be at the Valley Novelty, and that's going to be 2902 Ventura Street, Fresno, California, 93721. And this is going to be a free event for all ages from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. And this event is going to have live performances from MC Wix, TA The Handful, The Neighborhood Kids, Moody, Abstract Poets, Cubic, N.A. and the G, Twistello, and Wormaven. So if you're looking for a great, great event, especially if you're looking for an event with music or something to really attend, make sure you check out Black Books and Rhyme Books. They'll have vendors, they'll have music, they'll have a DJ. I know DJ Halinchi is going to be out there. And this is a pet-friendly event. So make sure you go out there, support the local hip-hop scene, and make sure you see what's going down here at the Novelty, Valley Novelty. There's going to be, I think, food trucks out there and different other vendors. So make sure you check it out. It's going to be a great one. I know there's going to be an open mic and also a MC battle. So it's going to be a great event that you don't want to miss with a lot of great local talent. Like I said, MC Wix, TA The Handful, Moody, Cubic, and Wormaven, some of the up-and-coming artists as well. So make sure you guys check out this great event, Sunday, March 10th, 2024, and it's going to be Black Books and Rhyme Books. So make sure you guys check it out. And this week, I wanted to talk about this EP called 23 Miles EP, and it features some of my favorite local artists, Doughface, Wormaven, High Up Seer, and also this album was produced by JRD. And these are great artists that really came together to put a great project together. And there's other acts like Roach Clip, Kalionaire, Kaza, that really put their hands on this 23 Miles studio session that they said it was like a laboratory experience. But these are some creative minds, especially between Doughface and Wormaven, two of my favorite local artists right now, and definitely put together some great beats as JRD did the production. So if you're looking for a great local art, to support, make sure you guys check this one out. It was actually released on February 29th, so I was kind of late to it, but getting to it this week, I definitely wanted to talk about it. So make sure you check out 23 Miles EP on all your streaming services. And let me know what you guys think about Doughface and Wormaven getting together for a great project. I think this was something that I was hoping for, and I'm glad that they ended up putting it together. And make sure you check it out on all Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you get your music. I think this was a great production album, so let me know what you guys think. Now let's talk about our Fresno State men's basketball team, as they have a record of 11-9 with a 4-13 conference record. They are currently ninth in the Mountain West Conference, and they actually had two games last week. Their first game was on Friday, March 1st, against Nevada, and they ended up losing to Nevada 66-74. But the Dogs were led by Isaiah Hill, who scored 16 points, grabbed 5 rebounds, and dished out 4 assists. Then their second game was against New Mexico on the road, and they ended up losing to New Mexico 58-79. But the Dogs were led by Xavier Dussel, who scored 20 points, grabbed 1 rebound, and was able to get 1 steal. The Dogs will have their last game of the season on Saturday, March 9th, here at the St. Mark Center against Wyoming, before they will start the Mountain West Basketball Championships on March 13th. And the championships will go from March 13th through March 16th. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State men's basketball team. Now let's talk about our Fresno State women's basketball team as they close up their 2024 season this past week. They had their first game against Wyoming on the road, and they lost 51-62. But the Dogs were led by Keely Brown, who scored 13 points, grabbed 5 rebounds, and dished out 2 assists. Then the Dogs faced off against New Mexico on their last game on March 5th, Tuesday, March 5th, and they lost 58-72. But the Dogs were led by Dejanay Harvey, who scored 14 points, grabbed 3 rebounds, and dished out 2 assists. The Dogs' season has now ended, and they will be awaiting the Mountain West Championships, which will take place March 10th through March 13th. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State women's basketball. Now let's talk about our Fresno State Diamond Dogs, as they have an overall record of 8-3, and they have a conference record of 2-1. And last weekend, they took on San Diego State in a 3-game series. They beat San Diego State their first game 12-6, and then their second game they lost 1-7. And then their third game, they ended up beating San Diego State 11-1. And then they ended up coming home for their midweek game on Tuesday, and they ended up winning 9-8 in 10 innings. So this weekend, they'll have a 2-game series against UC Irvine, and that will be here at home at Pete Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State Diamond Dogs. Now let's talk about our Fresno State softball team, who has a record of 14-5, and they have no conference games yet, but the Dogs had a great weekend last weekend, going 3-1. Their first game, they ended up going against Weber State. They beat them 7-0. Then their second game, they ended up having to go against Long Beach State, and they beat them 8-2. Then their third game, they played DePaul, and they ended up beating DePaul 5-3. And then their last game, they had a tough game against CSU Fullerton, and they lost to Fullerton 0-2. And this week, the Dogs will be at the 2024 Bulldog Classic, which will be here at Margie Wright Diamond. And their first game will be on Friday, March 8th. They'll be against CSUN. Then March 9th on Saturday, they're going against San Diego. And then March 10th on Sunday, they're going against San Diego again. And they'll have a game on Monday against Rutgers. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your softball team. Now let's talk about Fresno State football, as they have dropped their 2024 football season schedule. And they will start off the season against Michigan in Ann Arbor on August 31st. And some of the other big games they'll be having will be Washington State on October 12th. And that will be here at home at the Valley Children's Stadium. And then they'll be playing UCLA on November 30th. And that will be in Los Angeles. And they will be hosting, you know, their some conference games, which they'll be hosting against New Mexico State. They'll be hosting against San Jose State, Hawaii, and Colorado State. And then they'll be on the road against New Mexico, UNLV, Nevada, and Air Force. So this is going to be a tough 2024 schedule, as they're going to be playing three top teams in Michigan, Washington State, and also UCLA. So this is going to be a tough schedule for the Dogs. But, you know, I love when they play schedules like this. Really shows us what we have to look forward to for the 2024 season. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State football team. Now let's talk about our Fresno Monsters as they now advance to the second round of the USPHL Premier Pacific Division playoffs. This is where they will have a best of three series against the Ontario Junior Reign. And they ended up losing their first game 2-1, but then they'll have two more games to be able to, one more game to make it even, and one more game to try to win the series, and then they'll be division champs. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno Monsters, and make sure you guys go out and support them at the Gateway Ice Center. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on the Monsters. Now let's talk about the NFL, and we'll start off with the 2024 All Combine team. And first off, I want to talk about the best QB, I think, in the draft. You know, people are thinking Caleb Williams, number one pick. But my pick for best quarterback would probably be Michael Penix Jr., who we got a lot of teams looking after him right now, as Atlanta Falcons are looking for their number one quarterback. Minnesota Vikings might be looking for a number one quarterback. Denver Broncos, who might be getting rid of Russell Wilson, is looking for a quarterback. And also Las Vegas Raiders, who is looking to get rid of Garoppolo, is looking for a quarterback. So the most of the other quarterbacks, you know, we're talking Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels, they were all declining to participate in Saturday's workout. So Penix took it up to his approach, and he really impressed and really showcased what he was all about. And this is what makes me like this guy even more, is that he was routinely showcased the live arm that he had, made him a Heisman Trophy finalist this past season. You know, he launched a bunch of deep passes, ripping great guided missiles to targets on deep outs, deep corners, deep ins, comebacks. He finished the day with the perfect end zone fade to his Washington teammate, Rome Odunze, which ended up capping off his great, great performance, which highlighted all of his strengths. And I think his arm is what makes him a great, great QB. But there was also some great other quarterbacks that did pretty good, like J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, Bo Nix out of Oregon, which, you know, Bo Nix for a long time last season was one of the top QBs in the league, in the college football, and then also Keaton Slovis out of BYU. But I really wanted to talk about a hometown hero that really made some noise last week, and I wanted to talk about Xavier Worthy, who ended up the fastest person at the combine. And the best teams that are going to be fit Xavier Worthy is Kansas City Chiefs, Jacksonville Jaguars, Buffalo Bills, Indianapolis Colts, Dallas Cowboys, and also the Atlanta Falcons. And it looks like this guy was really, I don't think people were looking forward to this guy really breaking the combine's all-time record in the 40-yard dash. But Worthy was definitely expected to fly. But when Saturday came and his first run, he posted a time so fast of 4.25 seconds unofficially that his cohorts were heard telling him to take his shoes off. but Worthy wanted more. He ended up lining a second attempt that instantly built anticipation inside that Lucas Oil Stadium. He then crossed the line with a 4.22 flash on the record boards, unofficially tying John Ross's record. The crowd erupted, and it was almost like a walk-off home run, which won the World Series, you know. Then the official time came back as a 4.21 seconds. The moment became history. Worthy's then jumped, you know, he ended up jumping 41 inches in the vert. He did 10 out of 11 in the broad and matched his incredible 40 time, but he opted out of the positional drills. Perhaps we'll get to see him run routes at his Texas Pro Day on March 20th, but this was a great, great performance by a local kid, Xavier Worthy, out of Central High School, and this was an amazing, amazing feat to be the fastest guy in the NFL. This is amazing. So this was a great, great, you know, combine as we look forward to the NFL draft, which the draft is going to have so many great, great talented players this year. And the draft will actually take place in Detroit on April 25th through April 27th. So as that time comes more approaching, we'll be talking more about who we're talking number one. We'll be talking about other players as the draft becomes more of one of those things that we need to talk about as it get closer to the NFL season. And a lot of these teams are looking to trade up, trade down, looking to really make their rosters even better, as this 2024 NFL draft could be one of the best that we've seen. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze podcast for more on the NFL. Now let's talk about the MLB. And first, I would like to talk about how the Oakland Athletics unveiled their new design for their ballpark in Las Vegas after months of delays. And the architects for this new ballpark in Las Vegas really hit it on the head, as the BIG will be the design lead for the project, while the HNTB Corp will be the sports hospitality designer and architect of record. But the stadium is expected to be opening the spring of 2028, located on a 9-acre parcel of land at the site of the former Tropicana Resort and Casino on the Las Vegas Strip. And the ballpark will see the capacity of 33,000 people. And this stadium looks amazing, as they had a press release echoing. And people are talking about the vibrancy of the entertainment capital of the world. And the ballpark will have a fixed roof that will be covered by 5 overlapping layers that are meant to resemble baseball pennants and will let in sunlight. The outside of the stadium will then clad with metal that, according to the release, will reflect the Las Vegas Strip at night. The ballpark will feature what they are calling the world's largest cable glass net wall, which offers a view of the strip over the left center and center field walls. This is the second set of renderings that the A's have released since they've announced their intention to move to Las Vegas last summer, but the first set was discarded and the team had scheduled a press conference for December 4th to announce the new renderings, but that press conference was canceled on December 1st and was never rescheduled until this announcement this week. But the A's play a weekend spring series at the AAA Las Vegas ballpark this weekend, and Big previously worked with the A's on the renderings for their proposed stadium at Howard Terminal in Oakland, which was announced in 2018, but was never built. So this rendering is beautiful, as it seats like a lot of people, and it's going to be right there in the strip. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly what this park is going to look like. I know they say it's going to cost about $1.5 billion, but if you really want to take a look, make sure you guys go see the design and look for it for yourself, because it definitely does look amazing. So I just wanted to talk about the A's ballpark, but now let's talk about MLB spring training. And so far in the spring training, you know, seeing some of the top players looking on their new teams, like the Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani, the Yankees, Juan Soto, and the Braves, Chris Sale, have looked really, really good. Ohtani right now homered in his third at-bat with the Dodgers and went 5-for-7 through his first three games. Even as he recovers from his injury on his right elbow surgery that will keep him from the mound this season, the two-time MVP looks like he's on track for opening day, and he will bat between two other MVPs. And also during this time in the spring training, Ohtani has gotten married and announced that he got married. So what a big offseason for the Dodgers getting Ohtani, and now he's working into that lineup. And now let's talk about Juan Soto, who has looked really comfortable as a Yankee and looks pretty good in the pinstripes, I would say. He went deep three times in the last four contests. That would put him right there as one of the heavy hitters for the Yankees. And also just to see some of these players play with their new teams really puts this spring training in action. Like, I think this is a great time to go out there and go check out some of the best prospects in the MLB right now. I know they got the Cactus League, and they also have the Grapefruit Leagues. So in the Cactus League, I think it is 15 teams, and then in the Grapefruit League, they also have 15 teams. So it's a great time for baseball right now, and I think it's gonna go all the way until, I think it's March 17th. So we still got a lot more time for spring training, and then the season will start Thursday, March 28th. And like I said, there's going to be a big MLB opening between the Dodgers and the Padres in Korea, and they'll have the Seoul series from March 20th through the 21st, and then they'll actually have the rest of the teams start the week after. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your MLB. Now let's talk about the NBA. And this week, we'll just do power rankings. And then next week, we'll be talking about our California teams more. But at number 5 this week, we got the Minnesota Timberwolves with a record of 14-19. And the Wolves have really been playing really well as they matched their win total from last year already, 42. But they are just 3-3 on the 7-game homestand that ends Monday, with their losses having come by a total of 10 points. And the Wolves just scoring, you know, 26 of 30 clutch possessions in the narrow losses between Bucks, Kings, and Clippers. So they have been only losing by clutch possessions, which they're now 15-12 in games that were down within 5 points in the last 5 minutes. So they're ranked probably low in that clutch offense category. But it's been Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns who both missed late three-pointers to lead over the weekend. And the two of the 11 players who shot worse, 30% on the last 20 clutch three-point attempts. But the Wolves were without Edwards down the stretch against their overtime loss against the Kings. But it has been Karl-Anthony Towns who has been the top, as he has been their number one option, and he's been able to do it on the outside and inside scoring. But it's also been Rudy Gobert who has been in to help protect the rim for the Minnesota Timberwolves, as this season they're looking up to wrap the homestand and their only stretch of 5 games in 7 nights, with a game against the Blazers earlier this week, and 3 nights later they're going to have another big game against Indiana, and then they'll finish the week off with Cleveland and on the road against the Lakers. So it's going to be a tough week for the Minnesota Timberwolves as they're trying to get back into the winning ways. But then at number four, we got the LA Clippers, who have a record of 39-20. And the Clippers have really only suffered that brutal collapse against the Lakers, but they won even more important games during the week, edging the Wolves over the weekend. But the Clippers have been having some great offensive nights, especially against the Western Conference opponents. Since the All-Star break, they've been less of a jump shot shooting team, really putting it together as they've seen the biggest jump in percentage of their shots have come actually in the paint. And that's because of, you know, scorers like Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook, and Paul George, but haven't been really getting to the line much lately. Like I said, Paul George have missed a couple of games. He lost, including to the loss against the Lakers, which he combined with Harden's to shoot 5-for-26 in Minnesota. But Kawhi Leonard, who I've been talking about a lot, and who has been the anchor for the Clippers defense, held it down in one of the ugliest games we've seen all season. And he ended up getting the go-ahead bucket, which he came with execution on a play involving the three stars. Harden making a great pass to Leonard after George set a great screen. And right now, Russell Westbrook is with the fractured left hand, forcing the Clippers to go towards Bones Highland, who hasn't been in the rotation since early November, but has been shooting at an amazing percentage. And that includes replacing Westbrook this weekend. So the Clippers outscored most of their teams, especially Minnesota, by 14 points. But the defense has been the tougher challenge for the Clippers as they had that three-game trip, which continues in Milwaukee. And they'll have 2 days off, and the trip concludes in Houston. And then they'll begin their second stretch of five games in 7 days. But then they'll clear this week off. They already played Milwaukee at Milwaukee, and they also played the Houston Rockets. So they have a home game against Chicago Bulls, and then they'll have a home game against the Milwaukee Bucks. And then at number three, we got the Oklahoma City Thunder, which the Thunder saw their six-game winning streak come to an end in San Antonio. But then the Thunder remained the second team in the top five on both ends of the floor. Most of their losses have been coming over the last couple months, and especially their last recent loss to the Lakers, which they got earlier this week. But it's been really the Thunder's top guy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's really been putting it on the floor, been able to really make his way into the league as one of the most difference makers in the league, as he's been outplaying most of the point guards and really outscoring them. But the Thunder have two games left on their four-game trip, which they'll be playing Miami, and then they'll end up against Memphis at the end of the week. So this is going to be a chance for them to either make or break this week and get back into the higher standings in the West. But at number two, we got the Denver Nuggets, who have been on a rise with a record of 42-19. And they have been a great, great team so far, especially after the All-Star break. They've really been in the mix for that number one seed in the West, currently a half game behind the first place Thunder. But for me, it's been Nikola Jokic, who has been able to put together some great games, especially against the Lakers, beating the Lakers basically single-handedly, being able to do his trick shots, getting his rebounds, and really putting his defense at the edge for the Nuggets to be able to get some of these clutch wins, especially against the Lakers. But for sure, the other people that have been on this side has been Michael Porter Jr., who has really been shooting the ball really well. And I know he's been shooting that three ball really well right now, but the Nuggets right now has held the most efficient offense in NBA history to just 4 points or just nine clutch possessions when they won. I think they beat Boston in January. But this rematch is going to be on Thursday in Denver, so it's going to be a great one tonight if you want to watch some great basketball. Then they'll finish off this week in Utah for against Utah for a big game. But then at the number one spot, we got the Boston Celtics, who have been playing terrific. They got a record of 48-12, and they have been doing it consistently, beating teams by double digits, and their winning streak is now at 11 games with the largest point differential for any 11-game stretch in NBA history. And they also had a big win last week against the Golden State Warriors as they beat the Warriors by 52 points. But the Celtics have now outscored opponents and making them the best team with the fifth best mark in the NBA history. And this is going to be a big, big season for the Celtics as they're looking to put another championship in the rafters. And the Celtics have been on a tear, especially Drew Holiday, who has been seeing a huge drop in points, but his defense has been reluctant and been able to stop a lot of these teams. And the Celtics will play 12 of their next 15 games on the road. And the first three games on that stretch might be their best remaining chances to test their playoff ability. They lost a playoff-like game to the Nuggets in January, and the rematch will be today. So it's going to be a big game as they finish off this week against at Denver, and then they'll be on the road again against the Phoenix Sun to end this week's game. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on the NBA. But I want to thank you for pushing play each and every week. You know, your guys' support goes a long way for this independent podcast. I just want to remind you, every Thursday, push play on the new episode, and then also share this episode. I know every week is going to be different. I know this week is a long podcast. We got a lot going on, especially now that the weather's starting to change. We're going to start seeing a lot more events coming into bloom here in the Fresno area. So make sure you guys take advantage and make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast. Make sure to support all your local businesses, support all your local artists, and make sure you support all your local podcasts. I'm Alejandro Oveda signing off episode 263.